And we're going to, I believe it's the third chapter. We're going to read probably a few more verses in a text than what normally is done, but I feel like it gets the point across. Ephesians, let's start at chapter 3, and let's drop down to verse 16. That He would grant you, according to His riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Now, this is referring to God, His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 16 is telling you it's about the Holy Ghost. Starting at 17, that Christ, see how it identifies everything as the same here? You get the Holy Ghost? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to, now catch this, comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, I love how in verse 19, he's telling you you're going to know something that really is unknowable. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with, catch this, all the fullness of God. Now wrap your brain around that one. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If I challenged you and myself, I doubt we've even begun to tap into that. Because notice verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, catch this, to the power that worketh in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just bless the word. I'm not the preacher you are. Let only your word go out, no more, no less. We're thankful, God, for the Holy Ghost, and let the Spirit of God have its way in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for staying. Be seated. Let's give the Lord another good hand clap of praise. Now, he says here in verse 18, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints. There is a word that gets thrown around a lot in today's society, and that is community. For somebody to be a part of a community, that means you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself. You are plugged into more than just you and those that are in your household. You're plugged into everybody that's around you. One of the reasons I believe God wanted us to be filled with the Holy Ghost was simply because He wanted us all to be plugged in to the same thing and have access to the same thing. And what is that access? That is access to Him and Him alone. Now, there was a time when homes were connected only by the plumbing and the pipes that ran under the ground that connected them. Now, we're connected through wireless devices and social media. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me, and then we're going to give you examples here in a moment. I want you to hear me. I believe God gave us the first true form of social media and connections, and that is through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You need to realize that you've got access to the same thing I do. You've got access to the same thing He does. You've got access to the same thing the Apostle Paul and Peter had. You've got access to the thing that Jesus had that made Him who He was. And the Apostle Paul said, it's through the power that works inside of you that now you can't even begin to imagine what God will do through that power. But let me cover verse 19. It says, you're going to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. In other words, this is not something that you can just learn about in your head. This is something you have to experience. And in Colossians 1:27, he talks about the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This thing inside of you called the Holy Ghost is not something that's easy to figure out. It doesn't make sense to the angels. It doesn't make sense to the secular world. But when you get a hold of this and you experience it, you're going to learn that there's really something to it. The word mystery in its etymology means to close or to mute. This has been something that in the Old Testament, they had no idea about it, but they got glimpses. For example, Joel said, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He didn't understand what he was talking about, but Peter stood up at Pentecost and said, this is that. And I don't even think Peter realized what was going to happen until his shadow started healing people and Gentiles were being filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was being connected to those in a way that even the law said was impossible to be connected. But there was something about the Holy Ghost that was tearing down barriers, tearing down walls, and people that shouldn't come together were coming together. Miracles that were supposed to be impossible were now possible. Why? Because this thing that works inside of you will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could think or imagine. So I'm looking at this thing as supposed to be beyond knowledge, joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's a closed mystery. You can't figure it out. So how in the world is something that's hidden by definition supposed to be expressed if no one knows about it? How in the world do you tell a blind person what green is? How in the world do you tell a blind person what blue is? Even if you talk to somebody that can see, how do you define the color blue and red? You use a metaphor. Red is an apple. Blue is the sky. You can't do that to a blind person. They have to, it's a color, something you have to almost experience. Well, see, when you come to God and you study the Bible, you can believe what the Bible says. But when you get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost takes from what you believe to be true and lets you know for a fact that it is true. You're like a blind man trying to figure out the color blue before you get the Holy Ghost. You're like, well, they talk in tongues. I really don't understand it. They live this type of life. I really don't understand it. The Bible talks about a virgin birth and an empty tomb on the third day. I believe that it happened, but I don't understand it. But when you get down to an altar and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues, something gets inside of you and says, I know for a fact it's real because the very thing that made it happen is now living inside of me. I don't doubt that it happened. I know that it happened. But it goes beyond that. And this is the point I want to focus on. This is the point I think we're having problems with. There's only one Holy Ghost, amen? There's many of us. But this same Spirit that lives inside of all of us should create a connection between me and Him. Me and her. We're not individuals in a church anymore. We're a community. Because that's what Paul said. Now he's going to give you what's common among all saints. I think, and here's where things are going to get ooky and spooky. I think this man could have a pain in his body. And somebody with the Holy Ghost could get up at the same time that he's having that pain. And no, he's having pain and he ain't told nobody. You see, we're so quick to say the Holy Ghost is a bunch of woo-woo, somebody stole my Honda, Honolulu, I want to go there. It's more than that. The Holy Ghost should be a bond. The Bible talks about sharing burdens. When's the last time you shared a burden? When's the last time you went down to an altar and cried with somebody and didn't shed crocodile tears? You shed real emotional tears because you could feel what they felt. I think the Holy Ghost, if somebody over here is having such horrible pain, I think the Holy Ghost can tap us into that pain so that we can feel it, and it'll motivate us to pray about that. But you come to some Pentecostal churches anymore, and we're so disconnected, we don't have burdens, we can't even pray around the altar with people, we're more consumed about us. Why? Because we're materialistic and not spiritual. Yeah.
We're not letting the Holy Ghost lead us. We're letting the world lead us. It's time to push technology aside. It's time to push the world aside and say, God, I've got this Holy Ghost. I've got the Spirit of God inside of me. Somehow or another, I need to tap into it. I believe the Holy Ghost can turn you into a mind reader. You can walk by people who's got the Holy Ghost. Not that God's a tattletale. God's not out there trying to reveal your dark secrets. God's out there trying to help you. I had something happen to me once. It was very scary. Years ago, my wife and I, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary last month. We hadn't been married maybe a year or two. We married as teenagers, and we was on the verge of starting our first church, and I was having these Bible studies, and I had a group of guys in my mom's living room. I'll never forget this, and I'm putting up the board. Bible study's over. I'm packing up. I didn't live real close by. I was ready to drive home, and I could hear this guy talking. He's like, man, I'm having a problem. I'm having a problem. He just kept going, I'm having a problem. It makes me feel bad, and the Lord spoke to me what that problem was. I will not say it in this microphone, and it caught me so off guard. I turned and looked at him, and I said, I didn't think Jesus would say that word. He fell to his knees and went, how did you know? I said, God just spoke it to me. He started weeping. He got deliverance that night. You know what's happening in our churches? We're coming up here with, I know this isn't oil, but pretend. Jesus, 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 Jesus. God bless you. No connection. Well, I feel like we should be able to go by and do this and do this. Let me tell you something. You can't go by and do this and do this until you get connected. You want to know why Peter's shadow was doing what it was doing? You want to know why Peter was having the revival he was having? Because he prayed and fasted on a rooftop and he saw this vision come down. And God let him know the Holy Ghost is getting ready to take you beyond barriers. Don't say no. We've got to pray and we've got to pray our hearts out until God gets us to a point to where when we walk into a service, we've got eyes to see what He sees, ears to hear what He hears, and a mouth to speak what He speaks. A phone conversation is not just a phone conversation anymore. A sermon is not just a sermon anymore. A song is not just a song anymore. Going down to an altar and praying, I'm not just going down there to pray anymore. I'm going down there to get tapped into this thing called the Holy Ghost. Paul got so tapped into the Holy Ghost, he could see the people in another country begging him to come and preach to them. Amen. Peter got so tapped into the Holy Ghost, angels came and said, we got to take you to somebody because we can't help him, but you can. East Liverpool is going to have revival when we get tapped into Ephesians 3 and realize we got to get connected to where we see what God sees. Scaredest I ever was as a preacher, at least as far as I can tell right now, is the scaredest I ever was. I went into this, I showed up, I was to preach this last night of this conference, and I showed up early. Again, I was a teenager, and I went there to meet pastors, and for some reason, I ended up preaching that night. That's another story. Well, when it came to my official service, we had a prayer line. I'll never forget, I don't remember her name, I don't even remember what she looked like, other than she wore a solid white dress, I remember that. And I'm going around praying, and when I'm praying for her, I really felt strong. I felt like God wanted me to tell her something, so I leaned over and I said, hey, I know we don't know each other, but I want to tell you something. I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that He knows your prayer. He knows what you're wanting. And I'll never forget, I went to pull away, and if I remember right, she grabbed my necktie, and she pulled me in. And she said, if God knows my prayer, then you tell me what it is. And for a second, I think I made a mess. I really do, because I was a teenager, and I was just right then and there, Johnny on the spot. Then you tell me what it is. And the Lord spoke to me in a little voice and said, she wants a baby. I said, ma'am, you want to get pregnant. You thought she died. When I left, she was still out. I've never seen that woman again. I don't know if she got pregnant. All the Lord wanted me to tell her was, I know what you're praying for. Let me tell you something. Do you know why people are out there searching for in a bottle? They're searching for an answer. That answer's right here. People take a pill to go to sleep and take a pill to wake up. And then they take a pill to put up with their family that they live with.
when they just need to come to church, because I heard the Bible say, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And if you're here tomorrow, I'm going to play with that verse a whole lot. But I still believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And this Holy Ghost should have us connected. Man, this Holy Ghost should have us connected to where you get out of bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And even though you got to go to work the next day, you're like, I know I got to pray for that brother because something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because when you start calling people and saying, I got a burden for you. When you start reaching out to people and saying, hey, God put you on my heart. They're going to realize that this is real. Because sometimes you just think all you're doing is waving your hand in the air. Sometimes you think you're just going to church, hearing a guy in a microphone yell at you. But when the Holy Ghost shows up, it reminds you, this is that. This is real. This works. My God, what would you do if you were sick? And you're sitting there going, Lord, what am I supposed to do? God, what am I supposed to do? And all of a sudden you pick up the phone and it's him. What do you want, Pastor? God just told me to call you. But what if you was committing a sin that you thought nobody knew? And you get a text. Praise the Lord, bro. You was on my heart. I'm going to have to go home to my wife. I'm sorry. Huh? What happened if backsliders who were sitting in a bar one Friday night, all of a sudden a bunch of Holy Ghost people came in that bar and it wasn't a drink either? And it was because God told him, go to the bar tonight, lay hands on him, he's coming home. Yes, preacher, stuff like that don't happen. With that attitude, it don't. But let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. There is not a barrier for the Spirit of God. He just needs a conduit that'll let him work. Paul said, I'm not just going to preach about the mystery. I'm going to live the mystery. And even though they locked him up, he showed them that if you worship God, walls can crumble and chains can fall off. Even though they stoned him and left him for dead, he got up, went right back to the same town and had a revival. The Holy Ghost don't give up, man. The Holy Ghost is no surrender and no quit. It's going to keep right on going. As far as you'll take it, it'll go. Walk in that hospital, remember, you got the Holy Ghost. When you see them laying in those beds and it looks like they're dying, remember, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. When I was young, started preaching as a teenager, man, I used to love listening to the old-timers tell the stories back when there were not a lot of doctors to go to and they had to pray till the miracle happened. And those stories, they still ring around in my head. And when I started preaching, I used to pray, God, I want to be a doer. I want to see stuff. But here's the thing. Are you willing to let God take you to where you can see it? And I'll never forget it. I may have told some of this here before, but I'm going to get to this one certain point. The Lord led me one Sunday. When I started preaching, they gave me a Sunday school class that nobody wanted to teach because it was full of big, overgrown teenage boys who were rowdy. And that one day after Sunday school, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you go to the hospital and you pray. I said, for who? Everybody in there. And I told my mother, I said, drop me off at the hospital. Come pick me up on your way to church tonight. Who are you praying for? I said, everybody. I never forget, I got in the elevator, went to the 7th floor, and started working my way down. I even went down to the basement where the ER, and that's where I want to get to now. When I got to the ER, I'll never forget, I walked in, and there must have been a car accident, because everybody they rolled in had ketchup all over their face. And so I walked over to all these people who were strapped in a gurney, moaning and groaning, complaining. Some of them were begging God to take the pain away. And I remember standing over them, 16 years old, standing over them going, hello, hello, would you like prayer? In that situation, nobody usually says no. Yes, so I would find the place that had no ketchup and I'd lay my finger on them and I'd pray. When I prayed for all the gurneys, I am not making this up. When I got done praying, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And in my head, I'm like, well, they're going to throw me out. I turned around, and there's this older lady holding her stomach. She goes, are you just praying for everybody? Yeah, come here. She took me into the waiting room, and she said, we all want prayer. And they willingly let me pray for them in the ER. Did I hang around to see what happened? No, because I knew one lady had turned me in, so I was trying to stay ahead of security. But what I realized that day is this. Revival is not necessarily going to take place inside these four walls. The Holy Ghost was not given to you to keep inside a building. The Holy Ghost was given to you to go out there and pray for the sick. Some of the greatest miracles in the book of Acts took place in the world, not inside a church building. It's time we got that attitude of Peter. We always say we're broke, so why not? Just look at him and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I'm going to pray God to heal you of your cancer. I'm going to pray God to bring your marriage back together. I'm going to pray that God will send revival. Why? Because I know He can. I know He can. I remember a time when people used to call the preacher before they called the doctor. I remember a time when doctors would scoot out of the way when certain preachers came in because they said, hey, every time that guy shows up, I turn out to be a liar. There was a day when the world knew when you pray, something happens. And it's time that this church in Ohio reminded everybody that this is still that. This is not out of fashion. This has not gone out of style. It still works. We just need to believe it.
And I started preaching. I was scared to death. My biggest fear was I was going to have a sermon. I'm not real big on notes. That's all of them there. I have a sermon, and I get up here and forget it. So when I knew I was to preach, I'd pray all night, sometimes a whole week, barely slept, scared to death. One night I was praying. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and God laid this person on my heart right there. It was a lady. And I and her son, we kind of grew up together. Of course, I'm still a teenager at this time. And man, it was heavy. I was like, well, Lord, what's wrong? And God spoke to me and said, go to her house right now. I was like, God, I'm not going to go in there and wake up my mother and tell her to drive me over at 1 o'clock in the morning. The Lord spoke to me and said, walk. So I raised my bedroom window, climbed out, and I started walking across town. We live in a small town, but it's amazing how if you walk across town, that takes a little while. I got to her house. It had to be a good 3 or 4 mile walk. And when there was a big bush in her driveway. And when I got to the bush, I remember I ducked, and I was getting nervous. I was like, God, I'm going to wake her up. She's asleep. Her husband's known to be a little grouchy. And God dealt me, you go now. So I stood up and I walked around the bush, and every light in her house was on. And I thought, well, maybe somebody's awake. At their place, she always went to the back door. I'm walking to the back door, and as soon as I came around the corner, she opened the door. Her face was bleeding. She had a black eye. She said, come on in. I didn't know what I was walking into. I walked in, furniture was broke. You could see where she'd been laying in the floor because her husband beat her before he went to work. He worked night shift at a coal mines. And he was supposed to be a man of God. And she looked at me. I didn't know what to say. I'm just kind of looking at her. And she's shaking. Her lips swollen. She's got a black eye, bloody nose. She said, before you do anything, I want to tell you something. She said, I was laying on that floor. I'm not going to go into everything she said, but toward the end, she goes, I was laying on that floor, and I was on the verge of just giving up. And she said, God, if you are really paying attention to me, you better give me a sign, and you better give me one quick. And she said, when I stood up, you know what I saw? She said, I saw you walking down my driveway. That thing was like a mile long. She said, I saw you walking down my driveway. And she said, my heart started beating that maybe God's going to answer my prayer. Her name was Charlotte. I said, Charlotte, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I was praying for a service. And the Lord spoke to me and said, come here and pray for you. I had no idea what I was walking into. I was scared to death. I said, I don't know what happened. She said, he just beat me. That's what happened. I said, well, I don't know what to tell you about your marriage, but I'm going to pray. And we prayed, and we spoke in tongues. I forget how long I was there, and I left. I haven't seen her much since then. I don't know what's going on in her life, but I guarantee you it wasn't because of me. It was all because of God. Because when the Holy Ghost shows up, something happens. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm getting sick and tired of looking at everybody and saying, well, they're hopeless. No, Jesus died for them. They're not hopeless. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing people leave church and nobody caring. Jesus died for them. You better care. You want to have revival? It talked about love. The Holy Ghost is more than just a comforter. It's to connect you to the love of God. You think God enjoys cancer? You think God enjoys sugar diabetes? You think God enjoys tumors? You think God enjoys divorce? No. Well, what's His answer? His answer is a Holy Ghost filled church. People praying and reaching out to the lost and doing what it takes. All right. You see, that's the mystery.
Because in the Old Testament, all they were concerned about was the legal side of God. And there is a legal side of God. God is justice. There is a hell. It serves a purpose. And sure, the law said an eye for an eye. But here's what happens with an eye for an eye. It's easy to turn that in from justice to revenge. It's easy to turn the pure law of God into a gun and just slaughter people with it. And that's why when the Holy Ghost came, he said, this is what the kings and this is what the prophets have longed for. They longed for it, but they didn't get to have it. You've got it in your heart. It's the law of God written in your heart. Now you're going to understand things that have never been understood. You're going to feel things that's never been felt. You're going to experience and see things that's never been experienced and saw before. But I look at a church world now that's easily putting it in the past and saying, it's not for me. If you're still speaking in tongues, it is for you. If you're still getting out of bed every morning, it is for you. This is still that. Your phone captivates your mind more than the Holy Ghost does anymore. It does. If you compared how much time you were on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube to the times you pray, because so many of us see prayer as us talking to ourselves, and that lets me know you don't understand anything about it at all. Because sometimes you got to pray for a long time to get your mind to a place to where God can start speaking to you. But so many people are walking into church and leaving the same way that they came. I want him to read Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Listen to this.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
We don't want to even let go when we pray. We want to pray in English. And we want to say words we understand. And sometimes this is our prayer. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but sometimes this is all a person's prayer is. Jesus. What do you do when a record player gets stuck? It's just a mindless mantra. Jesus. And some people think that's praying in the Spirit, just walking around going, Jesus. No, that's like them little bald guys in robes that go around and go, would you like some curry? Praying in the Spirit, the Bible talks about moanings and groanings. And words coming out of our mouth that we don't understand. We call it speaking in tongues. We still do that, don't we? And it gets a hold of us when we're praying. And when you pray, you don't know what's going on, but you know something is going on because you feel it. You know you're connected. You know there's a burden. And that's why I long to see the churches that were baptized in this. I long to see them get back into that mode of thinking to where tonight when we go to church, we're going to pray. And we're just not going to pray a simple prayer. We want to pray in the Spirit. We want to pray in the Holy Ghost because we've got to get connected. God knows where the people are. God knows who's looking for healing. God knows who's looking for salvation. We don't, but He does. And that's why we got to get back to the day and to the hour where we can set time aside and find us a place to pray and seek God until something happens. Because if you read the book of Acts, some of the biggest revivals came when those evangelists let God take them to where they should go. They weren't on the phone trying to book a revival next year just because they knew their belly would be hungry next year. They were praying, and God, the Spirit, just pick them up and take them over there. That's why the book of Revelation starts out like this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What would happen tonight, let alone tomorrow on Pentecost Sunday, if everybody, if just five people would come in here and get into the Spirit on the Lord's day? Hey, we're going to see a chain breaker. We're going to see a pain healer. We're going to see a miracle worker. We're going to see a soul saver when you stir up that Holy Ghost. This is contagious. When I was at that hospital praying for people, I walked in a room. There was a guy. I've never seen anybody hooked up like this before. He was an older gentleman. He actually looked dead. He's laying there. I mean, he looks like a stone statue. And he had a box in the ceiling with this weird silver hose. That silver hose that went out of the box and went right into his chest. And his wife was holding his hand. And she was crying. I had made a homemade little thing on my shirt that said, minister of what church and my name on it, so people would at least think I was legitimate and not trying to lie to them. And I introduced myself and I said, I'm praying for people. Would you like me to pray for your husband? And she really wouldn't even talk. She's crying so bad. She just said, uh-huh. And I remember I took the man's hand. Now, he was on like floor 4 or 5, and I started at 7, and I hadn't felt God from 7, 6, or 5. I think it was the 4th floor. So when I got to the 4th floor, I'm really discouraged. But when I grabbed that man's hand and started praying, man, I felt the Holy Ghost like I was in a Sunday night revival service. And I remember speaking in tongues. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't care. This is the first time I felt God. I'm letting it happen. I spoke in tongues. I remember jumping around a little bit, holding this man's hand. Because remember, I kind of thought he was dead already. When I got done, he's eyeballing me. So I quit. And I don't know what's going to happen. He says, boy, I don't know what you are, but I'm not going to knock it. He said, I'm a trustee at the First Baptist Church, biggest church in that town. Had a steeple so high it tickled God's feet every Sunday morning. He said, I've had all of our trustees and deacons come in here, even all of our pastors. He said, I even had what they call a chaplain here come pray for me. He said, nothing. He said, but whatever you got, I felt it. Well, man, that's all it took. I had my fire lit. So by the time I got to ER, I didn't care if it had ketchup on their face. A few years later, I was preaching in California at this church, not far from Los Angeles. And they had 2 young men. One of those young men's about the size of the Woods middle boy, Jonah. He was older than that, but he didn't grow like most kids. And there was this other kid there, was a teenager. Every Sunday, they would load up a portable PA after Sunday school, go to Toys R Us, and preach in the parking lot. These 2 kids did this. I mean, they had a unique youth group. So I told that story either Saturday night or Sunday morning, and those kids are going to the car, and that little boy, he's like, so you ready? You ready to go preach? Well, let me cut to the chase. We come there on Sunday night. Those boys were 20 minutes late. They come running in the church, and they go right, I mean, it was a full house. They run right to where the pastor is, and they're both on their knees doing this. I don't know what they're saying. They wanted to shut the service down and get a microphone. He let them talk. When Sunday school was over, the little boy looked at the bigger one and said, you ready to go preach? He said, we're not going to do that. He said, we're going to go to our hospital. We're going to pray for everybody in there. Their hospital much bigger. They only got halfway through. The last man they prayed for, when they walked in, he had a roommate. The roommate's sitting up in bed and says, boys, he's the one that needs prayer. He's paralyzed. He can't even blink. When they prayed for him, and when they said in Jesus' name, the man blinked. Well, they came to church shouting. Week later, I'm up in Northern California preaching. Youth pastor calls me and says, Brother Corsi, we thought you might want to know the rest of the story. They went back this Sunday. They're going down the hall, and a guy yells at them and says, hey, boys, come here. They walked in. He says, you remember me? They said, no, sir. He had changed that much. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'll never forget you two because I was in a dark place, and I heard somebody say, Jesus. And he said, for the first time, I opened my eyes. He said, you two left way too early. He said, within 30 minutes, I was running up and down the hallway looking for you. He said, the nurse and the doctor come, threw me back in bed, said they've been running tests on me all week. They can't explain how I was paralyzed and now doing this. They don't know how. He said, they've kept me here all week. They're going to let me go tomorrow. He said, young'un, I want to tell you something. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Keep doing it. I'm telling you, this is contagious. It's time you testify about the goodness of God. It's time you tell people He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He can still reach the lost. He can still move a mountain. He can still stir a soul. You just got to trust Him. Even in the dark hour, trust Jesus. And that's why when we pray, we need to realize we are connected through the Holy Ghost. And I believe God is wanting us to share one another's burden. Now, I know some people can go crazy with this. And I'm not trying to promote craziness. But what I am trying to promote is this. We need to be connected more than what we are. Amen. We're broken apart too easy. Well, it's quiet, you're preaching. We're broke apart too easy. We believe rumors too easy. We get mad at one another too easy. The love of God was hanging naked on a cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When it comes to church, how in the world are we going to have revival if we're holding grudges and bitterness against one another? If we're fighting before church, putting on a happy face and worshiping, and then fighting after church? No. We got to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. We got to put that stuff behind us and say, hey, we are brothers and sisters. We are united in Christ. Let's come together and let's have revival. If we can't get along over natural things, we're never going to get bonded and see the supernatural. That's why there's so much strife. It's amazing how many pastors I know that are telling me, I think I'm about to go get a degree in some type of psychology because everybody's messed up. You want to know why everybody's messed up? They're messed up because we're not spiritual anymore. We're all material. We're living in a world today where kids are battling things that I never battled when I was a kid, and I'm not as old as most of you here are. We're living in a world today where you're getting medicine for things that we never dreamed of taking medicine for when I was a young man. This world is messed up, and sadly, it's having an effect on the church. It's time the church reacquainted themselves with Jesus, and let Jesus be your peace speaker. Let Him be your way maker. Let Him be the love that keeps your family together. Husbands and wives live in the same house, but are so far apart. Families live in the same house, but are far apart. People call the same church their home church, but are so far apart. God, give us more heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. Amen. Ever been in public and you know you're looking at apostolic people, but you could tell nobody wanted to make the first move? Sometimes you want to walk up to them and say, man, you're so holy, you don't even pop your pimples. Jesus must love you. Huh? You go out to eat. I was with one pastor, and we was going out to this place, and there was another church in town. You know, some churches have more than one apostolic church, and they all can't get along, but they all say they're going to heaven. Explain that one! So we walked into this restaurant, and he stopped me. He goes, look, if you want to leave, we can. He goes, the other church is here. They think we're crazy because we're in the UPC. He said, now they'll look at us crazy. I said, don't worry, bro. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. So as soon as he turned around, I walked right over to their table. Hey, y'all go church? Is God good? And none of them wanted to talk. Huh? Like I come to get them to sign their soul over to me or something. And that's how, if we act that way in the real world, we're never going to have revival. You want to know why? Because one church is plotting the other church's demise. And then that other church is plotting that other church's demise. And God's sitting up there going, I would bless your city if you two would just fall in love with me and yourselves again. Because when you get the love of Christ in your heart, it doesn't matter if it's UPC, ALJC, or independent. The only thing that matters is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we get so caught up in titles, we get so caught up in isms and systems, we need to get caught up in Jesus. We want revival. But see, here's when problems occurred. And it happened in the early church. It got to the point that the Apostle Paul, can you imagine witnessing this? The Apostle Paul had to
rebuke Peter to his face. Now, if you know anything about organization, that's like in General Conference, which was I hope somebody would film it if it ever happened. That would be like all of a sudden David Benard and Paul Mooney having a doctrinal debate right there in the middle of conference. And if you know who they are, you see the humor in this. Huh? But can you imagine? But Paul was so concerned that if we get too stuck up, this revival is going to stop. And if you're not careful, you're going to let what somebody looks like or what somebody says or how somebody behaves stop your revival.
I was doing a revival once out in, we're actually close to West Virginia. Down in the southern part of West Virginia, Hillbilly Central Church still heated themselves with a potbelly stove. This was back in the early mid-90s, and it was a small building. And one night, it was right before I got to preach, this family comes in. There wasn't even room for them. It's a tiny building. This big old family come in, and some of them were big people. And they had on like coveralls, and they looked like mountain folks that just got it to the city for the first time. And they all come in, they're looking around, and they all just sat right in the floor. Sat right in front of us. Well, I started preaching anyway. We're just having church. Next thing I know, the church had a horse trough. We're baptizing all of them in it. Come find out the dad pastored a big Baptist church, and he thought we was a cult. And he's trying to get his kids out. If I fast forward to today on the youth, I think he's still on the youth committee. In West Virginia is a guy with the last name of Price. He's a big old boy. You can't miss him. He's a one God apostolic preacher, goes to Brother Billy Cole's old church. And he was he gave his heart to God in that revival, and he's still preaching the gospel strong. You want to know why? Because when we walked in, we didn't care what he looked like. Huh? And when it came time for baptism, he didn't care if we had a beautiful tank or just a horse trough. He wanted Jesus. You can go across town, you can get a building full of chandeliers and not know how to play one of them. But hey, you will not have revival at all if you don't get the Holy Ghost bouncing over those walls. Yeah, I'm living in a world, the church world today, to where we're substituting anointing for these big, beautiful choirs that know how to go, and they talk about revivals being nothing more than just a jubilating jubilee. I want more than just a jubilating jubilee. I want to see God show up. I was in London, England not long ago, and I sat there in Westminster's Abbey. We got to the service a little late. We had to sit behind the choir loft, could not see nothing. In the Westminster's Abbey, all the kings and queens of England are buried inside that building. Isaac Newton's buried in there. So's Charles Darwin. Woo, boy, he was in for a surprise when he died. But all these people are buried in there, and they still have church, and that choir, oh, sung so pretty. I told my wife, I said, if we lived in London, I'd probably go there every Sunday and listen to the choir, but I would not go there to get in contact with Jesus, because the church is as dead can be. I would find me a one God apostolic tongue talking, born again, heaven bound believing church that didn't care if they met in a barn, a building, or a cathedral. They just wanted Jesus to show up. And when I see music contests and there are all these things happening and people trying to become recording artists and popular authors and things like that, and I've even wrote a book and there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm saying this, it can never, ever substitute the Holy Ghost. And sometimes when we pray for people, it's almost like we give them a eulogy before we pray for them. Well, Brother so-and-so's lived a long life. I bet he don't think he has. Well, Brother so-and-so's seen a lot of stuff. I bet he's not seen everything he wants to see. That's why he's standing there getting prayer. But we're like, well, if he dies, he lived a good life. We're putting him in the grave. When Jesus showed up at funerals, he never preached funerals. He performed resurrections. Jesus refused to bury somebody. He passed funeral possession. The little widow of a name, he pulled that boy up. He was healed. He went to the funeral. He went 4 days after the funeral and called Lazarus out. Why? He's not about burying. He's about resurrecting. He didn't come to bury you. He didn't come to pronounce your judgment and doom. He came to save you and rescue you. So I say this in closing tonight, if you want to come to the music. It's Pentecost Sunday. I hope it's more than just hand clapping to you and foot stomping and speaking in tongues. Those are great. They have their place and don't never stop. But it's so much more than that. There's people right now in this building. I can almost guarantee you that. There's people right here in this building. I bet you've got a problem. You've never yet, and I know some people really love to talk about their problems, but I bet some of you got problems you've never yet told anybody about. Never. And wouldn't it be wonderful if through the Holy Ghost, somebody, even if it was just one of the children, could walk up to you and say something that you knew didn't come from the lips of man, but came from the heart of God. A pastor called me once. I did a home missions church. He and I were the only apostolic churches in that county. He called me. He says, "Hey, bro, what are you doing tomorrow night?" I said, "Well, I've got a Bible study to teach, home Bible study." He said, "Can you be at our revival service tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I'll probably be an hour late." "That's no problem." He said, "If I tell you something, would you believe me?" I said, "I guess." He said, "Have you ever heard of so-and-so? Is there an evangelist?" I said, "Nope." He said, "You never met him?" "Nope." He said, "I'm not lying to you, Brother Corsi. This happened." I said, "Okay." He said, "He's at the church today praying. And when I showed up, he walked in my office and said, 'Do you know Jason Corsi?'" "Yeah." He said, "Well, I've never met the man, but that's the name God spoke to me in the prayer room. I got something to tell him tonight. Tell him to be at church." First time I ever had something like that happen. So I told him, I said, "Well, I'll be late, but I'll be there." So all day I'm thinking, "Well, Lord, if you told him my name, what else did you tell him?" There was a situation in our church. Every church has a situation. And it was a type of situation that if God didn't move, I knew I was going to lose four families. I knew four families were almost out the door because I could not get them to love each other. But yet they all claim to have the Holy Ghost. So I walked in, and I knew when I walked in, the pastor, he went over and he kind of pointed out, because I got there right as he was getting ready to preach. So after the sermon's over, we're all at the altar, and he walked up to me. He says, "Did he tell you what happened when I was in the prayer room today?" I said, "Yes, sir, he did." He said, "I got a message for you." I said, "What is it?" "It's going to get worse before it gets better." I lost three of those four families. And just to think, God spoke to this guy. He was old. He may be dead now. I don't even remember his name, to be honest. Spoke my name to him and said, "It's going to get worse before it gets better." Sometimes the Holy Ghost doesn't give you the magical answer you're looking for. But remember, it came from God. What does that mean? That means God's paying attention. If somebody walks up to you, I don't care. If somebody walks up to you, shakes your hand, say, "Hey, bro, I just feel like telling you, keep hanging on. Keep hanging on." Don't let that go in one ear and out the other. If somebody walks up and shakes your hand and says, "Hey, sister, I just, for some reason, man, you got on my heart, and I was praying for you really, really hard today. I believe God's going to do something." Don't let that go in one ear and out the other. If you're down at this altar praying, and somebody, especially if they don't normally do it, somebody just comes up to you and just puts their hand on your shoulder and just starts praying, and they don't walk away, they may never tell you anything, but you know what you ought to be like? You ought to be like, "Well, thank God. Thank you for sending somebody over here to pray for me," because they may never know what you're going through, but that could be God's way of saying, you're not by yourself. Quit sitting in the corner and acting like the world is against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's stand. There's a couple.